This podcast is brought to you by Voice of Vets. Voice of Vets. Hear it. Feel 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 it.
Joining us at this time, we are joined by Mr. Zolani Mkiva, the Secretary General of the Congress of Traditional Leaders of South Africa, or CONTRALESA for short, who joins us on the show to further educate us on how the pandemic has affected the operation of initiation schools. Mr. Mkiva, thank you so much for joining us this evening here on the COVID Report. Now, in April, your organization called for a suspension of initiation schools for the year due to the COVID-19 pandemic, with initiation schools remaining closed even during level one. Can you please take us through the developments that have been made in this matter as CONTRALESA continues to engage government in talks to possibly allow the initiation schools to resume operations?
Thank you very much for the opportunity, my brother, and to your listeners. Let me just start off by saying that, and now coming to your question, yes, indeed, in April, we made an announcement to the effect that we are formally suspending or cancelling the winter season insofar as initiation is concerned. And that was informed by the fact that there was the outbreak of the corona virus in the country and the world. And we took that decision of the cancellation, and we did indicate that this cancellation is not only historic, but it is unprecedented and universal in its nature, and we're compelled by circumstances to do that.
And now, Dr. Mkiva, a lot of young men, as well as their parents, look forward to these periods where boys will transition into manhood. What impact has the COVID-19 pandemic had on initiates and organizers of initiation school?
Well, since we have cancelled the initiation school for the winter season, the impact is not only on the boys, but into the entire families that were prepared and planned long time ago to actually undertake these rites of passage. So it has not only affected the individual persons and the individual families, but it has affected the broader society of South Africa and also other parts of Africa who happen to practice the same custom. So the impact of this is greater than people would think. In the sense that people plan almost for 5 years for the realization and the undertaking of this custom. So it has really disorganized communities and the broad society. And that disorganization has got financial impact. It has got all sorts of other impacts. And so it calls upon us, therefore, that we need to replenish. We need to repurpose in order to avoid an undesired disaster.
Yes, this time has caused drastic damage. And one of the ways this practice and communities, as you rightly suggested just now, Mr. Mkiva, has been financially. And that is a great segue into my next question. Can you please take me through any kind of relief measures or social relief fund that was offered to the traditional surgeons that are impacted by this ban of traditional circumcision?
Well, my brother, unfortunately, there hasn't been any offer to that effect. But what we are doing as the Congress of Traditional Leaders is the continuous engagement with government to look into what type of interventions could be made in that effect for traditional surgeons, but for traditional nurses, but perhaps for the broader initiation school machinery in order to prevent any calamity, because you will understand that the number of boys that were to go through the initiation period in June have not gone. And if now we open for December, it would mean that we almost double the numbers, which also needs us to plan properly and also ensure that resources are availed. And that's the engagement that we are having with government, both at national level and respective provinces where this practice of initiation is being conducted.
And now, the issue of illegal initiation schools has always been a recurring problem. What is being done to ensure that the owners of these illegal practices are brought to book? And what is happening now during the pandemic? Has there been any illegal initiation schools running? And do you plan on seeing some running during December?
Well, we have ensured that we stamp our authority insofar as the illegal and the bogus initiation school, especially during the period wherein we had cancelled the season of winter. Going forward is that we're going to be working with police and law enforcement agencies to ensure that we don't leave any stone unturned insofar as illegal and bogus schools. If they do that, like we said in the statement we made, that we're going to be very harsh and we're going to take drastic measures and we're going to be merciless on anyone who's going to take chances with the lives of our children. So on that score, we are doing everything as we prepare for December, should we open, and which I'm confident that we will. So we will make sure that there's compliance in terms of the regulations set out by the Disaster Management Act, but over and above, we'll make sure that there's compliance insofar as ensuring that only legitimate and legal schools are allowed to operate. And we have called for government to come up with harsh sentences for anyone who is found to be on the wrong side of the law on this matter, because the illegal and bogus initiation schools presents a picture of human trafficking. So the situation is quite a very, very bad one in that sense. And as such, we are very, very much concerned about those who want to use the little children in order to make money at the expense of their lives. We think that the state ought to act brutally against them.
In light of everything that you've just covered in terms of addressing the people who try to step on the wrong side of the law in operating initiation schools, can you please take us through the criteria and process that that has to happen in order for you to qualify to legally operate an initiation school?
The traditional sessions are certified by the respective traditional councils. In other words, there are people who are recognized and they are known by their respective traditional councils as well as the kingdoms where this practice is actually conducted. And therefore, no one is able to do that without the certification by the traditional authority or a senior traditional leader of that particular area. So the criteria is very simple, but at the same time, it's quite very open. And therefore, it is a common knowledge that who are the people who practice. You see, what happens is that, and what ought to happen is that when a family is going to take their child to the mountain, they ought to inform the traditional leader of that particular area in order for them to be registered. And that registration, therefore, requires for them to indicate which traditional session do they prefer to work with in that regard. And then once that information is disclosed, the traditional leader will then say, give a nod to that or a seal of approval, because he would be aware and of the recognition of that respective traditional session. And other pertinent questions will also follow in terms of the location, as well as the traditional nurses will be taking responsibility. All of those ought to be processed in that particular way. So it's a long-standing tradition. But what happens when it comes to these bogus initiation schools is that in the first place, they go underground. They go behind the community. They go into hiding, into areas which are inaccessible in order to do this brutal conduct. And that's why it is sometimes it is not detected in time. When they conduct this act of brutality. So I'm saying, therefore, that that's basically the common way of approaching this matter.
And you mentioned earlier on that the winter season of initiation school has been missed because of the lockdowns. What are the reasons behind the circumcision seasons? And what are the cultural repercussions of not attending initiation school at the right age and at the right time?
The initiation schools are meant to give lessons for life, give lessons for preparing men, preparing young men for leadership in their respective families and their respective communities, but also to sort of align them in terms of our cultural outlook, as well as the heritage importance and the role that is expected of them. So it's a very important school because it marks the beginning of a new chapter in their lives. And as it spells itself out, these are the rites of passage from boyhood to manhood. So quite clearly, boys are being prepared for a bigger role in life. Boys are being prepared for the role of leadership, for the role of being a man, manhood, and how to handle matters of patriotism, matters of nationness, as well as matters of promoting, protecting, and preserving one's culture. So that's the bigger role that they play. So initiation school is not just about circumcision, as many people tend to trivialize it around that. There are about 8 to 10 modules that these young initiates are taken through from a point of view of African education, wherein they're impacted in terms of African wisdoms, in terms of indigenous knowledge systems, in terms of leadership from an aspect and a perspective of Africanity. All of those are mainstreamed in the initiation school. So the initiation school is quite a university of traditions and a university of culture insofar as our people. It's a very important milestone in the history and the life of a person because it impacts on the direction that one needs to take, you know, informed by the values of Ubuntu. So what we do at that level is to ensure that we produce leaders of the future and leaders of our society for future generations.
And lastly, how will COVID-19 regulations and protocols be observed during initiation? And what precautions will be followed to ensure the safety of initiants? And at this point, are you considering opening initiation schools for December?
Well, there are protocols and traditions which come from a long time in memory. And these protocols must be respected and must be adhered to, and they must be upheld. And some of these protocols cannot be spelled out because of their sacredness. And but people who are there, who are certified and authorized to operate at that level, they are also taken through an exercise of refreshing their minds in terms of workshopping them on what they need to do and what they are expected to do, how they are expected to present the lessons, how they are expected to treat the boys, and how they must actually take care of the children during that period. Because that process is a health process, it's an education process, it's a social process, it's also a process of management and leadership. Therefore, I cannot go into the details, the nitty-gritty and the modality, because it is a sacred issue. So, as I have indicated, from our perspective, we think that we're going to be opening the schools in December because it is a summer period, and I believe that we have flattened the curve completely in South Africa, and we don't see any reason why we shouldn't. All we need to do is now to juxtapose the protocols of tradition vis-a-vis the protocols of the regulations so that we ensure that there's commonality and we ensure that there's compliance on both ends. And I think it's something doable because sanitization has always been happening there. The difference is that the type of sanitizer we're using is traditional compared to the one that is 70% alcohol. So that's what we will have to look at. And I think it's something that is doable. All of those issues, we'll deal with them clinically and provide leadership in that direction.
And that was Zolani Mkiva, the Secretary General of the Congress of Traditional Leaders of South Africa, sharing with us what steps they have taken around the resuming of initiation school as December is around the corner. Now, we hear from one of the initiates who was meant to go in June, but due to the pandemic, could not. Now, that is the story of our guest today, Mbulelo Totoyi. Thank you so much, Mbulelo, for joining us here on the COVID report. And firstly, you were supposed to have gone into initiation during this year's winter period. You were not able to because of the coronavirus pandemic. How are you feeling and what is your plan forward?
Hi there, Sipho Sihle, and hi there to all of your listeners. To answer your question that you have asked quickly, I was definitely supposed to go in to initiation this past winter, I have been unable to do so because of the COVID-19 pandemic. How this basically makes me feel is, to me, it's not really something that's really that personal in terms of initiation, but I have been definitely, like, in terms of looking at other age mates that were able to go into initiation before COVID-19 and not being at the same level of them in terms of heritage and Xhosa stuff, and not being able to speak at the same level as we used to speak, because we were once friends. And I mean, like, being boy and being a man in my culture means two different things, and therefore those two different groups of boys and men cannot, like, easily clash and easily speak. So definitely not being able to go to initiation this past winter season means that I will not be able to converse freely with my friends that have been already to initiation school. I mean, and then certain things that are just minor things in terms of things that are being taught there that I haven't received and that kind of thing. Otherwise, it hasn't really affected me that much. And the plan forward is to try go to initiation the next opportunity that does arise, whether it is at the end of the pandemic or in December. I'm still not sure.
And with the eventual goal of going to initiation schools, we all know that initiation schools often host a number of initiants, and the schools are set up in places far from water and ablution facilities. So what are your concerns around this pandemic and going to initiation school, considering that this pandemic requires a lot of washing of hands and sanitizing?
One thing that I can definitely tell you is that initiation schools have definitely needed lots of government intervention and more regulation in terms of the health procedures and everything that goes on in there. It's not a surprise to any of us that in terms of hygiene and health in initiation schools, it's not really up to the standard that it needs to be. And so because we are in a COVID-19, we are in a pandemic, this causes a greater impediment for these young initiates and them being able to participate actively within the whole process. So going forward, that definitely means that we need a bit more government intervention with all of these steps in initiation schools, and ensuring that, so it makes us question whether how the government will be able to intervene and make sure such things such as social distancing are observed, and the whole question about the hygiene and health practices in initiation schools is still then being highlighted again. And so after a pandemic, lots of these factors, and after me personally considering these factors, it's more about trying to look at a solution that is that will have less initiates accumulating at a certain place, for instance, to allow for greater social distancing. It's through using other initiatives, so where they were not able to access water, let's look into more reasons as to why we are not able to access water, or looking at more solutions as how we can deal with all of these problems.
And we are all now looking at the December initiation period, which is coming up. And if you had the choice, do you think you will go in, or are you going to wait until the end of the pandemic? And do you support the occurring of the initiation school now in December, or should everyone wait?
Again, I've been trying to say that the government really does need to intervene in the whole initiation process. I mean, there are lots of hygiene measures and things that are not regarded as much in initiation. And having initiation in a time of COVID-19 is, personally, I think, not a very good idea, simply because, I mean, in the past, even before the pandemic was, even before we had experienced this pandemic, there were lots of health issues and lots of hygiene questions that we had asked in terms of initiation. So in terms of it, and be now having to have more regulations in initiation, we now need to have more regulations in initiation schools, and we now need to look at our health even more and our hygiene practices even more to ensure things like social distancing and ensuring that we protect ourselves and protecting others. So I definitely don't think that it is a good idea for initiation schools to be running in a pandemic, specifically for reasons because of how this disease can be easily spread. So definitely it's not it's not a good thing that we should be having any initiates at any initiation schools currently. And in terms of the upcoming December period, I'm not really sure as to what will happen yet. Looking at the cases now, I mean, quite obviously have to look at the stage of the pandemic. I mean, it looks like we have reached a plateau in terms of the cases. What will the situation be like in December? Are we going to have a bit more cases? Is it going to be the second surge of infections? Lots of factors that need to be looked at. So definitely I can for now say that I would go in December simply because it looks like the cases have plateaued, and or provided that there will be government intervention in terms of the health procedures that are taken in initiation schools. And basically, yeah, I mean, yeah, that's kind of all that I kind of have to say in terms of initiation schools. And yeah, in this upcoming December period, it really depends on the cases and the progress of the virus and the pandemic, whether it is going to be safe or not for initiates to actually start accumulating at initiation schools again. I hope I answered that question fully.
No, you definitely did, and shared some insight on the need for regulation with initiation schools. And sometimes things do not appear as they necessarily are. Now, switching gears, do you think that this coronavirus pandemic is forcing us to develop and adopt our culture practices, adapt our culture practices? And what kind of impact do you think this is having on amasiko as we know them?
Oh, I definitely think that it has, it definitely has affected amasiko, abantu besiXhosa, amasiko of any people, I don't know, of any other amasiko or any metal that can exist. But I definitely think that it has, and it is forcing us to develop and adopt our cultural practices. I mean, as I quite highlighted in my previous responses, there is definitely a need for intervention, for government intervention within initiation schools, in terms of ensuring health practices. I mean, it's not a surprise to any of us that there have been lots of deaths in terms of initiation schools and initiation school related deaths. And in trying to, therefore, and that also adds to as to why we should develop amasiko and adopt cultural practices that are much safer for everyone that are involved. So definitely the coronavirus will force us to develop our cultural practices.
And now just looking at you personally, Mulelo, how has the COVID-19 pandemic affected your life and your schooling and what you had planned for 2020, or as the youngins were saying, 2020?
Quite funny that it has not been a year of 2020 blessings, but rather been a year of plenty viruses or diseases. It has definitely affected me negatively. I mean, I'm a first year student. I go to a university in Cape Town. I'm a first year law student. Because of the pandemic, I'm definitely not on campus as we speak. I'm back at home, trying to adapt to online schooling and seeing how that is. I mean, it has definitely affected me negatively. That's the one thing that I can not dispute. I am unable to access resources that I would have been able to access at school, on campus, and many other things that I cannot enjoy because of the pandemic and the many restrictions it has put into our lives. So, for instance, I'm still at home again, as I said. I'm still at home, and I'm probably going to be at home for the next, I don't know, till the beginning of next year because of the virus. So I will not have the same kind of experience, or I will not be able to enjoy certain rights that I would have enjoyed on campus. That's definitely one thing that I can definitely say in terms of my studying and being able to access the library, and now having to adapt to learning back at home again and trying to juggle life and try to be safe all at the same time. And those other things are definitely affecting me negatively. And that's kind of all.
And knowing there will come a time when COVID-19 is no longer on our front pages, what are your expectations for post this pandemic? And as a young South African, what do you think we should be learning as a country from this pandemic?
The one thing that I can definitely tell you is that in terms of public awareness and public decency and the way that we carry ourselves, we're definitely going to have to change it. I mean, being able to sanitize our hands, wash our hands more regularly, and looking into like the next part where of our lives and trying to prevent such diseases and trying to prevent the second occurrence of such a disease. So this definitely affects many young South Africans in the way that they carry their lives. And lots of things that we can definitely learn from this pandemic in terms of ensuring that you are secure for the future. I mean, right now, lots of people have had to have lost their jobs. Lots of people have been made redundant because of the coronavirus. And so lots of those things are still affecting us. And as the youth, we can definitely learn that
we are in lockdown level one, and you have mentioned that the pandemic is still around and there is intervention on the side of government. What role do we have or can we play to fight against this pandemic in our own little pockets and in our little cultural spaces? What should we be doing in your point of view?
Oh, definitely educating more folks around us. I mean, not just protecting ourselves, and it's also about making sure that the people that are around you are also protecting themselves in order to protect you and protecting themselves. So even if it's just going to the mall and seeing someone holding on to something that could be infected, it's also about informing folks about those small little things that you can't keep touching every day. It's all about informing about folks, about sanitizing our hands and ensuring that we definitely social distance inside malls, whether it may be that we are on campus, at work, and definitely lots of other things that we can definitely do, social distancing, wearing our masks, sanitizing our hands frequently. And yeah, I mean, yeah, there's quite a lot of things that you can do apart from the things that I've definitely mentioned.
And that was Mbulelo Qotoi sharing with us how he has navigated not being able to go into initiation school due to the pandemic.
This podcast was brought to you by Voice of Vids. By Voice of Vids. To hear more of our shows, tune in to 88.1 or stream via www.vafm.co.za.